We've been sold the idea that financial independence is all about some number on your account statement. Or even worse, that you don't qualify because of where you started out. That's just not true. It's not about some well-kept secret of the wealthy. It's about finding the right information and knowing how to apply it. On the Get Ready for the Future show, we're answering your questions so you can start making real financial change today. The journey to true financial independence begins right here, and it starts with you.
From the sixth floor of the Financial Center in West Little Rock, Arkansas, welcome in to the Get Ready for the Future show. Glad to have you along, here to help people discover, protect, and share true financial independence. I'm Scott Inman, Janet Walker to my right, as we answer your questions on the show as we do each and every week. But Janet, we've got a couple of announcements, we'll call them.
Yes.
To start the show. We want to tell you about a couple of workshop opportunities we have through the Gen Wealth Academy. You know, if you've listened to our show much at all, that occasionally we do those in public, in-person workshops, and they are always topic-driven. And we have a couple of good ones we want to tell you about, and they're coming up really soon. So we want to make sure to tell you at least once during the program today. The one in the near term, or nearest term, is coming up on May 7th. So really soon, we are going to be at the Chenal Event Venue on May 7th, and we're going to be talking about three keys to retirement income planning. Your paycheck stops in retirement. You have to have a plan, as we talk about on the show all the time, to replace that paycheck, turning your life savings into lifetime income. We'll talk about Social Security, pensions, long-term care. All that's on the table, and it's free to attend, but we do have a limited space at the Chenal Event Venue, so we want you to register to come to that. You can call 866-653-PLAN to reserve your spot, or you can go online to getreadyforthefuture.com/academy, and there you'll find a list of all of the upcoming workshops, and we'll tell you about the next one that's coming up in El Dorado. That one's going to be about Social Security, discovering the secret to getting the most out of your benefits. May 14th at the El Dorado Conference Center. This workshop, also free. You can go to getreadyforthefuture.com/Social Security to sign up. Just one of the ways that we are education-driven here at GenWealth. We're doing this show for you every week and also providing those workshops. And Jen, anything you want to say about those upcoming workshops and the reason people need to attend?
You know, if I had to make a list of my top two favorites, These are the ones, the three keys to retirement income planning and dealing with Social Security. And I was just talking with somebody yesterday about Social Security. You know, we talk about regularly that when you get to the point where they're sending you those statements every year when you hit 60 and you start getting those statements in as a husband and wife, you feel like it's a his decision and a hers decision. Mm-hmm. But there are so many things that you need to look at as a household. This is all about household income, whether you're attending the Social Security workshop or the retirement income, because even in the retirement income, we're going to touch on Social Security. But I will just say there is more to it than meets the eye, especially on those statements. So just be sure you join us. Again, we are very education-driven, so if you have an opportunity to come out, that is the purpose of any workshop that we're putting on, is for you to leave knowing something that evening that you didn't know when you came to join us for the beginning of it.
Yeah, when it comes to Social Security decisions, retirement income planning, you shouldn't enter retirement without having addressed both of those. And that's what we're all about at GenWealth, creating retirement income plans for our clients. Going to give you an opportunity to learn more about that. Bring your questions to that. We may answer questions on this program, but we also answer questions at the in-person workshop. So check it out. GetReadyForTheFuture.com/Academy. You'll see how to sign up for both of those upcoming workshops in Little Rock and El Dorado. The other announcement we have to dive into our question and answers today is that we've had so many good questions over the last couple of weeks. We're going to declare right off the bat that all of our questions are winners this week. You know what that means? Everybody gets a Get Ready for the Future Show tumbler. So anybody who hears their question today, know that you've got a free Get Ready for the Future Show tumbler waiting for you. Just reach out to us by sending an email to show@getreadyforthefuture.com to claim it. So we'll dive right in. Anonymous email here, and he writes, "Hi, my wife will be eligible to participate in her company's 401k in June of this year. It includes a 3% employer match, and her salary is $56,000. She also started a Roth IRA this year and is contributing around $500 a month to that. So the question, once she starts contributing to the 401k, that will probably not be as much. We are wondering how to decide which account to fund more. And then the rest of this gives us a little context, which we always like. We are 27 and 28 years old and aiming to retire by 50 because that is when I will become eligible for full state retirement. Thanks. We always enjoy the show. Boy, the first thing that jumps out to me before we even get into the answering part of that is good for them. 27
yeah.
and 28 and their focus on their financial future.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'll just say you have a bright retirement opportunity yes. in front of you for sure. We've just got to kind of work through some of these questions that you're asking to get you off on as stable a footing as you possibly can be at this point. So let's talk about the 401k just a moment and an opportunity that she will likely have inside of the 401k, because the question was, where do we prioritize the dollars, the 401k versus the Roth? It is highly likely that inside of the 401k that she will be able to make Roth contributions. Now, the employer is going to match in traditional dollars, pre-tax dollars. So that's still going to be, it is what it is, but it's free money. So we'll take it, even if it has to be taxed in the future, that's fine. So we do want to be sure that we get all of that match coming in. But she does probably have inside of that 401k the opportunity to contribute Roth dollars. So you're not missing out on tax-free income later on in retirement just because you're focused on the 401k match.
Yeah, so that's a big, big pecking order that we talk about often here, and it's a great opportunity to highlight that. You certainly, and it's common sense, but it needs to be laid out there. You want to make sure that you're contributing enough first to the employer plan to get the match, right? You don't want free dollars left on the table. And then beyond that, I think to Janet's point, you're looking for the Roth, whether it exists in the 401k and can be contributed to from dollar number one, right? And it all be Roth money, or if you have to do the pre-tax in the 401k to get the employer match, then pivot back to the Roth IRA outside of the 401k if there is not a Roth option in the 401k. But, you know, to get back to it won't likely be as much. I think it's important to point out too, Janet, that whatever you're starting at is probably not where you're going to stay.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We have people often look at, you know, when you get a raise, what do you do with that? And if you use part of it to improve your quality of life day in, day out, then that's fine. But you also want to use a significant portion of it to increase your contributions to retirement. But Scott, the thing about this question that gets me probably most excited for them is the time value of money.
Right.
That we have very few people who are really focused on their retirement in their 20s. And so when we begin to look at this, we actually have an illustration to be able to share with you kind of what we're looking at. Let's assume that we're starting with a zero balance, because we said that she's just started contributing to her Roth IRA earlier this year. So we're starting with zero balance in 2024. And then that investing $500 a month, and we know that you're probably going to dial back on this, but you're going to increase what you're doing in the 401k. So I think it's a safe assumption to say that we're still going to do $500 a month. So $500 a month going in. If you stop investing in 2046, because we said that at that point, that's when the husband apparently becomes eligible for full state retirement, so by his age 50. So if we stop investing at that point, and then we still let this money grow until age 59 and a half, assuming an 8% rate of return, which is over a long period of time, that's a conservative assumption that we're looking at, because we're looking at 32 years of time here. So over that period of time, that gets you just from this resource $744,000. So that is obviously on top of what the husband is going to have in his pension and whatever he might contribute to his retirement. And we're not even factoring in any type of match from the employer. So kudos to you on getting started. But let's look at the tax impact on this. When you look at that balance in 2046, there's $344,000 there. The principal is $132,000. The growth is $212,000. But we're still going to leave it there. So rolling on along to age 59 and a half, that principal of $132,000, that means that all the rest of that money, so over $600,000 is growth, And guess what? Because that's in a Roth IRA, that's $600,000 that you can utilize for your retirement income that is tax-free.
Yeah.
So great, tremendous opportunity, because you're only going to pay taxes on the income as you're earning it, and then that growth, when you withdraw that, growth and principal really are all tax-free at that point, but you will have already paid on the principal when you earned it. So it's a tremendous opportunity to have just, frankly, exponential tax-free income in retirement.
Yeah, of course, a hypothetical example there, we use 8% because that's the long-term historical average of the stock market, but that is not indicative of what will happen in the future. But either way, you get huge growth on that over mm-hmm. that amount of time. The question is it going to be enough? That looks like a fantastic number, right? $744,000. And I think one thing to wrap up on this question, you're aiming to retire at 50. It can be done. There is no question that that can be done, especially with a state pension involved. Mm-hmm. But some other things to consider, you do want to think about yourself as well, not just what your wife is doing. You don't tell us anything about what you're doing. Supplementing your future pension income with some non-qualified assets might be part of the plan, right? Because mm-hmm. if you have to get to age 59 and a half before you can tap the qualified accounts without penalty, you get a 10% penalty if you dip into those traditional IRAs, those pre-tax 401k dollars prior to 59 and a half. You're going to want something there to bridge that gap if you're going to need extra income above and beyond what the pension provides. And of course, we don't know if they're planning to work part-time after that, have a second career. We'd need to know those things. But don't rely solely on the pension in retirement. You have to have a plan for health care. You've got a long way to go before you get to age 65 and qualify for Medicare. And I think another big thing there, Janet, we need to point out is you have to know the impact retiring early is going to have on your Social Security.
Yeah, because you're going to go, you know, X number of years without earnings. And so you want to be sure that you understand the calculation that you're dealing with on Social Security. And we can help you through that process. One other thing, though, is to be focused on where you're going to be on a house payment at this point. You know, if you could, while you are focusing on your retirement and while you're focusing on those investments, if you could simultaneously focus on making sure that that house payment is going to be paid off. And Scott, I can't tell you how many times over the years we've seen people who would come to us and they'd be like, well, the house was paid for and then we did this. You know, whatever this might be, it looks different in a lot of situations. But if you're going to retire early, and as Scott said, you know, you're retiring before Social Security is going to kick in, there might be an impact on Social Security relative to how early you're retiring. And you're also going to have to self-fund your health care for a period of time. You want to be sure that you're in a situation where you're not burdened by a house payment, if at all possible.
Great question to start us off on. If you have questions for us, you can call or text them to 501-381-5228. Hear your questions answered on the air or send us an email to show@getreadyforthefuture.com. Moving on to Donnie via email. As part of GenWealth's retirement planning process, what are your thoughts on tax rates and standard deduction changing in 2026? What steps should one take now to lessen the impact of higher taxes? Great show and enjoy listening. Donnie, thanks for the email. I do want to kind of, for everybody else listening, kind of explain what he's talking about there. First of all, we want to tell you we're not a CPA, so we're not giving tax advice on the program. You should consult a CPA for tax advice, but we can kind of walk through the general understanding of where we're going with taxes and how you can prepare for them from an investment perspective. So what Donnie is referencing there is the Tax Cut and Jobs Act of 2017. Under that, the tax rates were set where they currently are. And we have a graphic to show you the 2024 federal tax brackets. Again, we're just talking about the federal income tax brackets here. So on taxes due next year, so the income you're earning this year, this is where the rates currently stand. If we're going to focus on that far right column, which is married filing jointly, most of the clients that we work with, that's where they would file status-wise. If you're single, you can see your own column there as well to compare. But you can see that 10% is the beginning tax bracket for $23,200 or less. Most people are going to make over that. They dip into the, they jump into the 12% tax bracket until their first $94,301. And then you go to 22. There's a 24% bracket, 32, 35, 37. You get the gist. That's where they stand right now. However, they're set to sunset, or that law, rather, is set to sunset on January 1 of 2026. The rates will return to their pre-law amounts, which are 10, 15 instead of 12, 25 instead of 22, and 28 instead of 24, and onward and upward from there, 33%, 35%, and 39.6%. So you can see they are going to go up if the law is not extended or a new law is not passed. That, of course, depends greatly on what happens in the presidential election and in the congressional elections in the fall. But I think it is a great question to jump into, is because this could impact retirement income. But we're going to take this because we don't really know if Donnie's asking us in the years up leading up to retirement, if you're talking about when you're in retirement, or both.
Yeah, and I want to circle back to the tiers for just a moment, because this is something that we regularly see, and I really want this to soak in with everybody who's listening, because even in the past week, I've probably had this conversation half a dozen times. So many people think that, okay, when I get into whatever the next bracket is, it's subject to, like every dollar that they earn is subject to that upper bracket. So let me use as an example, if somebody made, let's say, let's say $100,000, and they're as a household, so married filing jointly, and they make $100,000. Well, $94,300, as you see here, is the top of the 12% bracket. Just because you make $100,000 does not mean that you're now going to be at 22% on every single dollar. You're 22% on the $5,700 that is above that 12% bracket. And again, that is a way different impact on your taxes. So as these brackets adjust up, and that is the concern that Donnie has, as these brackets adjust, keep in mind that it is a smaller impact than what most people think,
right?
Because it's not going to put you, like if we go to 28, it's not going to put you to 28% on every single dollar you earn.
Right. And so the point, though, to take advantage of it now is to do some things to not have to pay after 2026, not into those higher brackets. It's not really on the first bracket or the next bracket, but it's jumping into those larger ones that you can try to plan for.
Mm-hmm.
And bottom line is, you want to plan for a retirement that assumes taxes are going to go up for the rest of your life. When you look at where the country's debt is, you can expect tax rates to go up. So depending on, Donnie, your stage of life, let's talk about still working in your pre-retirement years. There are some things that you can do to lower your taxable income now. You may be aware of them, but maxing out your retirement contributions can bring down your taxable income. If you are eligible to contribute to a Roth, this is really not about today's taxation, but it's preparing for retirement by putting money into a Roth. This is always a good option, whether you put it in directly. If you're not eligible to contribute in the front end of a Roth IRA, you can consider Roth conversions of qualified money now while the tax brackets are under the current law before they go up based on your income there. So you want to be careful not to convert too much at one time. A gradual process is the best game plan there.
Yeah, and sometimes, frankly, that gradual process, depending on how much we're starting with, we may just forever have this gradual process until you get into retirement and we go, okay, we're not going to mess with converting the rest of it. But a lot of people will think about, let me use $100,000 as an example. They think, okay, if we convert $10,000 this year and $10,000 the next year, et cetera, then in 10 years, we're done. The challenge is, and this is a good thing, but the challenge with thinking that you're going to be done in 10 years is that the account from which you're converting this money is still growing. So if we have $100,000 and we convert 10, then we're down to 90. But guess what? If that account makes 10% in the next year, then we're back up at 99,000. So it's basically right where we started again, and we convert another 10%. So we really want to make the decision based on your overall financial picture, not just when can we get done with this, because Scott, as you indicated, it could be that converting too much is not a good decision. We're focused on, you know, getting more Roth dollars, but you want to look at the holistic picture. What's the impact tax-wise?
Yeah, and I think it's also important to point out, we talk with clients all the time about potentially converting to Roth dollars. I think one of the big barriers is you have to have the cash on the sidelines to pay the taxes.
Yeah.
Because every dollar in that account is going to get converted. You're not going to use the IRA money to pay the taxes. We keep it invested, and you can't withdraw it if you're not 59 and a half anyway. You don't want to look at doing that. So you have to have that money on the sidelines to do it. So that's a key component to it. But the advantage here is to get all of that money into Roth in your pre-retirement years, then in retirement, that is not taxable income. And that can work to your advantage if and when tax rates go up. Now, in retirement, I think the first thing we have to say here is create an income plan to know where you're going to land in all of those potentially higher tax brackets. Because we do know that people in retirement tend to live on less than they do in their work lives. So it may be the impact of that higher taxation is not going to be as great as you think it might be, but you won't know until you create an income plan that not only sets your monthly income amounts, Janet, but it also takes into consideration your other sources of income, how they will be taxed, and the taxation qualifications around your investment accounts.
Yeah, again, it's a very holistic view that we think is very important in this process. Another consideration is qualified charitable distributions. That can impact what you're looking at overall when you get into your required minimum distribution age range sometime in your 70s. So again, the planning we think is key to what your taxes are going to look like. Scott, one of the things that we see with a lot of CPAs is that it's retroactive looking at, okay, this is what you did, so this is what you pay. We want to look forward in how can we adjust things so that you're in a better situation income and tax-wise moving forward.
Yeah, my CPA looks at what I did and makes the best out of it, right?
Yeah,
it's
reactive instead of proactive.
Already done. There's not anything he can do to change that. So being proactive and planning ahead is always good, and it starts with the retirement income planning process. Donnie, I would encourage you to walk through the GenWealth Ready to Retire process because we're going to cover all of that. We've kind of given you some ideas, but to truly get that holistic plan in place, reach out to us. Call toll-free 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526. Or you can shoot us an email. Just send it to show@getreadyforthefuture.com. Thanks for the question. Next up, it's Deb via text message. I'm nearing age 55, and I am trying to decide, should I start paying down my mortgage more aggressively? If I do, it would cut into my contributions into my Roth and HSA, but I've got about $700,000 saved. Should I do that? This is a great pivot point question that we see a lot of times with clients. You know, we want our clients to enter retirement debt-free, and that includes the mortgage, because obviously if your expenses are lower, you need less from your assets to support your lifestyle. However, how you'd go about doing that matters, and you do need to have a plan in place to do that. We don't want her to rob from Peter to pay Paul here.
Right. Another thing that we don't really know from this question is what your timeline to retirement is. And so are you going to be retiring before Social Security kicks in? So you're really going to need, you know, to have as much income as you can possibly have, because we're not going to have the benefit of Social Security being added to it for a period of time. We don't know if Deb is married or not. And so if there's anything else coming into play there. So what's your timeline to retirement? What are your resources, and what is your need going to be in retirement? And if with what you have and what you're on track to do, if you can meet that income need and pay off the house, then okay, that's a good plan. But if we're going to need to continue to supplement the retirement funds in order to have the income that you need in retirement, then we're going to go into retirement with a mortgage. You know, ideally, it would be paid off.
Yep.
But to be very transparent, most people don't get there until sometime into retirement.
Yeah, I've got a client couple that I'm working with right now. The gentleman is retiring at the end of June, and we are working through his income plan. And that's why, again, the planning, I know we say this to every question, but it is so true.
It really is the answer to everything. It really is.
Our show could be a lot shorter, Janet. Make a plan. But it's so true. Because in his plan, we knew that he was going to enter retirement with a mortgage, but we have identified when the end of that mortgage is going to be. It's actually going to be 13 years into his retirement, but we have his income in place to pay that mortgage, and then it actually goes down by the amount that he will begin to save when the mortgage is paid off, and he now knows that he has the assets to support that income strategy and the investment strategy that goes along with it. So important to answer Deb's question really is to go beyond just saying make a plan, but that's how you answer those questions. Are you on track with what you are contributing now to accomplish your income goals in retirement? And maybe even have you overfunded those income goals? Because that would tell us through the planning process that you could, in fact, back away from your contributions and throw more at the mortgage. So those questions are always answered through the planning process. I would include that, just like Donnie, Deb, you should reach out to us and begin that planning process.
Can I do I'm a language geek commentary about the word mortgage? Uh-huh. Okay, here we go. All right, so the word mortgage, if you break that down, mort and gage, mort, like mortician, mortality, it has to do with death. That's a creepy word when you think about it, okay? And gage is like an engagement ring. So mort gage literally means an agreement unto death. Mm. The mortgage company has planned on you paying on this thing until you die, and they have named it accordingly. We would like for them to be wrong, okay, but you may or may not get it paid before retirement. But I say all of that to say, not just for Deb, but for those of you out there listening, if you have a mortgage or you're going to get a mortgage, remember what the darn thing means. Yeah. And be sure that you have a plan to prove them wrong and get it paid off early.
We're going to have the hustle. We have one more question left on the show and not a whole lot of time, but we'll go to Brian from Fayetteville for it. In what order should we draw down accounts prior to Social Security and after working? Pre-tax IRAs, Roth IRAs, pre-tax 401k, or brokerage accounts? Great question, Brian. And the question is all of the above, or the answer rather, is all of the above more than likely. There's not really an order to the taxation. Sometimes blending makes a lot of sense. I would say we don't know how old Brian is if you are not 59 and a half when we're talking about pulling from some of those accounts. I think the non-qualified account is the answer there. But generally speaking, we don't create a plan, Janet, with one type of account being the one designated to draw down. It's more about what is that account invested in.
Absolutely. I also want to take a moment to address, even in the question here, this is something that we commonly see, and I think we need to clear up. When you mentioned pre-tax IRAs, Roth IRAs, pre-tax 401k, or brokerage accounts, the usage of that tells me that there's a little bit of additional understanding that needs to come along. You can have a brokerage account. It's just the type of investments that you have in it that make it a brokerage account. But you can have a brokerage account that has Roth IRA, traditional IRA, or non-qualified. And I think what you really meant here is non-qualified. And what that word means is it doesn't qualify for special tax treatment. Non-qualified means it's not an IRA, it's not a Roth IRA, it's not a 401k. Like your checking account, as an example, it's not an investment, it's checking, savings, that type of thing. But that is a non-qualified account. So what you're really asking here is about all the tax-advantaged accounts versus not tax-advantaged.
Yep, great clarification there. And when we talk about defining which one to draw down first, a blend might make sense from a taxation standpoint, but it is important to ask yourself what matters to you. That, again, is defined through the planning process too. Is it important to you to pass money on to the next generation? Because if you want your kids to inherit some of this or a charitable institution to inherit some of this, it might matter into preserving the Roth IRA or even the non-retirement account. Because when you think about how the law is now set up for inherited IRAs and the tax bomb that has been created there, that beneficiaries who inherit an IRA have to pull it out in 10 years. In most cases, there are some types of people who don't have to, but generally speaking, the next generation will have to pull all of that money out in 10 years, then it might be more beneficial for you to pull more money out of your traditional IRAs or your pre-tax qualified accounts now, but you don't have to spend all that, by the way, too. You can divert that into a different investment account, too. But you could preserve your Roth IRAs because that money, even though it does have to be taken out, Janet, in 10 years, is going to be tax-free to your heirs.
Yeah, absolutely. The longer I am in the industry, the bigger a fan I am of the diversification of your tax treatment. I'll give you an example. We met recently with a gentleman who's been my client for a number of years, and he's in his 90s. And when you start talking about required minimum distribution in your 90s, and when I first met him, Scott, he said, planning on living to 100. And now he has adjusted that upwards. So you know, we had this very serious conversation about the percentage that you're going to have to withdraw every single year. And because the majority of those assets are retirement or pre-tax dollars, then we're going to have to expose them to taxes and then reinvest so that he still has money because he doesn't need all of the required minimum distribution. I feel like I'm chasing a little bit of a rabbit here, but it's such a huge thing for people who have longevity. You don't want to have all of your dollars in pre-tax money. So it is really good to consider tax diversification as much as investment diversification.
So let's use the last minute and a half or so we have before final thoughts to talk about what I said earlier, that the type of account matters less than how it is invested, because I think that's the focus you need to have. In the money that you're pulling for today's income, it needs to be low to no market risk. Because when we talk about it on the show all the time, sequence of returns matter. And if you have equity investments in money that you're selling or shares that you're selling for income now, that can be a problem when the market pulls back, just even to the extent that it did in April with about a 4% pullback. If you're selling for income while the market's going down, it can deplete your assets quicker. So that is to speak to the bucketing time segmented strategy that we use as part of the GenWealth Ready to Retire process. You still have to believe in equities in retirement, but those are positioned for long-term investments as they always should be for income in later years of retirement. So the risk is on the back end of your account. So again, back to the point that the type of account matters less than how it is invested.
So I would love to talk about more education opportunities. I feel
we'll
like we've done a lot of educational, minded commentary today. And just a reminder of a couple of events coming up. We have one in West Little Rock and one in El Dorado. In West Little Rock, we'll be talking about the three keys to retirement income planning. And in El Dorado, the topic is Social Security. And you can register for either one of those by going to getreadyforthefuture.com/academy.
Wow, that was really good.
Nailed it.
Back in my radio DJ days, we would call that back timing. You walked right up to the bell and stopped talking at the appropriate time. It is time for our final thoughts. We'll start with you.
Again, we've been very educationally focused today. That's just who we are here at GenWealth, really all day, every day. But it's so critical for you to be able to take the information that you've heard today that is, for somebody else who had their personal question. And you've probably learned a little bit here and there from what their questions and answers were, but how do you personalize it? And the answer is you personalize it with a plan specifically for you on paper, on purpose, that's going to address where you are. Whether you're in your 20s, like our first question of the day was today, I'm so excited for their future, or whether you're approaching or even in retirement, do you have a plan to know that you're on track?
I read a study earlier this week, or read an article about a study that had come out, and I don't remember what the company was, but they are the financial services industry, we'll say, which we've talked about many times on this program, that they focus on the investments. They focused on the asset level. I think maybe there's signs that they're starting to come around and realize it is about the plan. It is about retirement income. It is not a magic number that you achieve, whether that's 1 million, 1.5 million, half a million. It is unique to you on what you need for retirement, dependent upon what you need and want from a monthly income perspective when it is layered in with all of your other retirement income sources. So one more pitch for the Keys to Retirement Income Planning workshop coming up in Little Rock on May 7th. We're going to talk about the GenWealth Ready to Retire process. We're going to talk about the bucketing strategy. We're going to talk about Social Security, pensions, long-term care. Please take time to join us. Just go to getreadyforthefuture.com/academy. And that's all the time we have for this week's Get Ready for the Future show. Great questions this week. I was not sure we were going to get to all four of them. We're glad that we did. And if you have a question, send them to us. Call or text them in. 501-381-5228 to hear your questions answered on the air. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Get Ready for the Future show. If you enjoy hearing from the Gen Wealth team every week, make sure and subscribe to the podcast. And if you want to help us get the word out on building towards financial independence, leave us a rating and review. The Gen Wealth financial team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com or call our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advice offered through Independent Advisor Alliance. Independent Advisor Alliance and Gen Wealth Financial Advisors are separate entities from LPL Financial.